Dear friends in Jesus Christ, as I've said already, today is the day of Pentecost, so it is a very important day in the church year. Let me give you a little bit of history, a little bit of meaning on the day of Pentecost before we get into our text today that's in the Gospel of John. First of all, when we think about Pentecost, it is one of the seven festivals of the Old Testament. We find all seven of them laid out in Leviticus chapter 23. So festival number three is called First Fruits. Festival number four, that is Pentecost. When we think about the word Pentecost, the meaning of the word in the Greek is 50. So when we think about 50, we have 50 days from Easter to Pentecost. We also have 50 days from the festival of first fruits in the Old Testament to the festival of Pentecost. And then I wanted to share with you a little bit regarding how they looked at it in the Old Testament and how it's different now in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, when they celebrated Pentecost, they were looking back to Mount Sinai and God giving the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. That was Pentecost in the Old Testament. What are we doing today? We are celebrating the fact, we are remembering the fact that God has poured out the Spirit upon us. He did that 50 days after Easter. He did that on the day of Pentecost in order to plug us in to the power of the Spirit. So with power, just like I said to the kids earlier, with power, we can understand the Bible, we can live the Bible, we can share the Bible. So the day of Pentecost is really important. If we're not plugged in, we are powerless. We are, we could say, spiritually dead. Let's understand that when we know Jesus Christ as Savior, we are plugged in. So let's use that power in order to honor our great God and be an eternal blessing to other people. Well, in the sermon today, we're in John chapter 15, and then we slip into chapter 16. But the setting, though, is that Jesus has not yet died on the cross. He's in the upper room with his disciples. He's sharing with them some very important things that are yet to come. And he talks with them, especially in this section, about the coming of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit. So keep in mind, Jesus was with them, but Jesus would soon be leaving. So you'll see the flavor in the reading that Jesus is saying, hey guys, my time is coming to an end. I have to go, but don't worry. I'm going to send the Spirit, and it's going to be okay. We are blessed in that same way today. Let's get right into our text then. So in this first section, the Holy Spirit testifies about Jesus. Jesus said these words to his disciples. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me, and you will testify also, because you have been with me from the beginning. So we might ask the question here, how did the Spirit testify about Jesus to the disciples? We find the answer if we go back a chapter to chapter 14 and we look at what Jesus said to his disciples. He said to them, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Jesus had said an awful lot of things to the disciples during his three-year ministry. How could they ever remember all of that? Well, they don't have to worry about it. The Holy Spirit will bring it to mind. I'm sure all of you have had a similar experience like this, but for myself, so many times, I'm talking with someone, and as I'm talking with them, the Holy Spirit brings a particular Bible verse to my mind that I know, that I've memorized, and the Holy Spirit is saying, in a sense, kind of nudging me and saying, hey, here's a great verse to share with that person because of the particular circumstances of this person. That person will be blessed by hearing that verse. So the Holy Spirit is at work today in our lives as well. And then the next question here, what about Jesus' disciples testifying to others? How did that happen? Well, by the work and power of the Holy Spirit, what did those disciples do? They told other people the truth of God. They called people to repent. And what else did they do that is so important? Moved by the Holy Spirit, they wrote down the New Testament scriptures. Wow, we are so blessed by the work of the Spirit and all he did long ago to give us the very Word of God. And then going on here, the Holy Spirit helps believers. The way the text is set up here, it's a little bit unusual. We look at the end of chapter 15, and then we jump into chapter 16, picking up partway through verse 4. But we kind of have to know a little bit about what was said earlier in that place we're skipping. So what Jesus had said earlier, he told his disciples, some bad things are coming, guys. He said, you're going to be put out of the synagogue, and people are going to try to kill you. And when they try to kill you, they're going to think that they are actually serving God in the process of trying to kill you. That's some pretty shocking information that Jesus shared with them. Then he said to them, these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to the Father who sent me. And none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, what things? The trouble that is coming, the fact that Jesus is leaving. Because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. Did you notice the one line in there where Jesus noted that sorrow has filled your heart? So what happened? Jesus gave them the bad news. Right away they were sorrowful, and Jesus being the Son of God, he knew exactly what they were thinking. He knew exactly what they were feeling. Does he know the same about us too? He does. We might try to hide it from other people, and maybe we even can, but he knows all that's going on the inside. He knows not only what we think, but he knows the very intent of our thoughts. He knows everything. Nothing can be hidden. I want to talk here for a moment about the Holy Trinity and salvation. Let's understand that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they have to work together in order to save us, and they did. So with God the Father, it was his work that planned our salvation, and then when the time was right, he sent his Son into the world. And then the Son, what did he do? He did the work of salvation, so he lived the sinless life, he took our sins, he paid our penalty, and then the Holy Spirit, he was sent to make the Son known, so as the truth of God is spoken, the Son is made known, and then the Holy Spirit is also at work to bring people to repent. Remember, we talked about this multiple times, but one more reminder. So the Holy Spirit is helping people understand that they have sin, they deserve hell, they are helpless to fix it. He makes them sorry for their sins, and he gives them the gift of faith by which they are trusting in Jesus, and that is canceling out the bad news, their faith in Jesus Christ for heaven, for eternal life. And then I want to mention here about sorrow and joy. So keep in mind, they're in the upper room, but within about 18 hours or so, Jesus will be dead. So there is so much that is horrible that is coming here in the next few hours. So Jesus is going to be dead. That's going to bring them great sorrow. However, on the third day, the Father is going to raise him to life. So that's going to bring them great joy. And then on the topic of help. So 40 days after Jesus was raised, we know what happened. That's the day he ascended into heaven. So he was gone. Trouble was coming very soon for the disciples. But what is the good news, though? Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem, be patient, and I will send the Helper. Who is the Helper? That is the Holy Spirit. Is he a very powerful Helper? By all means, he is the third person of the Holy Trinity. So he came, and he was there to help them in unbelievable ways. And then we come to the work of the Holy Spirit in convicting the world. It says, continuing in verse 8 of chapter 16, Jesus said to them, And the Holy Spirit, when he comes, will convict the world. So we're talking here about the unbelievers in the world. That's who he's going to convict. The unbelievers in the world concerning three different areas here: sin, righteousness, and judgment. So how does the Holy Spirit do his work? Well, both back then and today, what happens is that Christians, they share God's truth with other people. That's all we can do, is get the truth out there. And then the Holy Spirit, he works through that truth to show unbelievers that it is true, to show them that they are guilty, and then to bring them to repentance. What I'm trying to state there is, we have one responsibility to get the truth out there. We can't save anyone, but that's why the Holy Spirit is so important. We put the truth out there, and then the Holy Spirit brings people to Christ. I want to mention a little bit more about these three topics. So again, we have sin, righteousness, judgment. So first of all, on the topic of sin, Jesus said he's going to convict the world concerning sin because they do not believe in me. That's the problem. We all have sin, that's a problem, but the bigger problem is not believing in Jesus. Think about it like this. If we said that our sin is like a terminal illness, so we have it and it's going to kill us, and not only kill us, it's going to eternally condemn us. By stating it that way, I mean, that's true, that we have it and it's going to condemn us and there's nothing we can do about it. But what is the good news, though? God sent the cure. The cure is Jesus. So when we think about the Holy Spirit convicting people concerning sin, he's going to make it known to them that they have sin, that they are deserving of hell, that they are helpless. And then what's going to happen? Some people, by the power of the Spirit, are going to be sorry and they're going to embrace Jesus. But other people, though, they're going to reject the truth and they're going to further harden their hearts against the truth of God. We see that in the world today. We don't want that, but yet that's reality. Also, too, he's going to convict concerning righteousness. Jesus said, concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. What happens with many people in the world today? They try unsuccessfully to make themselves righteous. How do they do that? A number of different ways. First of all, they try to take God's standard of righteousness, which is as high as heaven, and they try to make it low enough that they can somehow rise up to it and meet it. That's never going to work because God's standard always remains high, even if people try to make it low. The other thing they do is they deny their sin. They say, well, you say that's a sin, but I don't think it's a sin. I don't think I actually have that sin, so they deny their sin. That's what we've come to in the world today. Sin is relative. So if I think it is a sin, then it's a sin for me. If you don't think it's a sin, then it's not a sin for you. Is that going to work in the sight of God? It will not. God tells us in his word what is sin, what is not sin. The other thing people do is that they blame others. They might even say, oh yes, I did that. I know that was wrong, but it's not my fault though. I take no responsibility here because it is he or she who made me commit the sin. So I have no responsibility. I'm not guilty. Is that going to work? Did that work for Adam and Eve? It did not. It's not going to work for anybody today either. Thinking about the way Jesus put it there, he's going to convict them because he goes to the Father. So let's understand, only through Jesus, who came, who did his work, and ascended to the Father after he did his work, only through him can a person be righteous. That's the point of it. And then finally, on the topic of judgment here, Jesus said he's going to convict concerning judgment because the ruler of this world has been judged. Are there many people today that say there is no God? Are there many people today who say, oh, there is a God, yes, but he's a God of love and he won't judge anyone? People say that too. But is judgment really coming? How can we know that? We can know because the devil himself has already been judged. So Jesus is trying to say here, because the devil has already been judged, you should know that anyone who rejects me, you are on the side of the devil, and because the prince of darkness has been judged, you will also be judged. So the Holy Spirit is impressing such things upon people. What happens though? Some people repent by the power of the Holy Spirit. Many people unfortunately harden their hearts, but nonetheless so, it's good to put the truth out there, and the Holy Spirit is at work. We cannot determine the outcome, but we should put the truth out there and grant the opportunity then for the Holy Spirit to do this powerful work of convicting. In the last part today, the Holy Spirit tells the truth. Jesus said, I have many more things to say to you, my disciples, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. Jesus said a lot in that section, but let's focus it down to three important things here. So first of all, it is the Holy Spirit that helps us understand the Bible. So what happens is that we hear the Word of God, we read the Word of God, we study the Word of God. Those are things that we do. So we hear, we read, we study. What is the part of the Holy Spirit? Then he works through what we are hearing, reading, and studying in order to enable us to understand it. So whenever we're hearing, we have to focus. We have to give some time. We have to think. We have to meditate. And it's during that time that then the Holy Spirit is working in order to make it happen. If you want to, let's say, for example, bake a cake, if you mix it up and then you throw it in the oven for like 1 minute, is that going to work out? It's not. If we're exposed to the Word of God for like 1 minute and that's it, are we going to get much out of it? We're not. God is saying this takes some time, but it is well worth the time. That's what he wants us to know. And then the Holy Spirit enables us to live the Bible. So we understand it by the blessing of the Spirit. We are plugged in, we have the power, and now we can live out that Word of God. When we live it out, what happens? God is glorified, and we are blessed, and even we can be a blessing to others as we live it out. So it's a win-win-win. And then we come to sharing the Bible. So once we are into the Bible, and what do? We realize, wow, I'm a very needy person. There are great benefits in here. For example, I know I'm a sinner, and now I know that I have forgiveness in Jesus. Oh, I know that I was cut off from God Almighty in heaven, but now through Jesus, there is peace. There is a restored relationship between me and God gave that to me as he worked through his word. Also, too, we have guidance. God shows us what to do and not do. We have encouragement. We have all kinds of great blessings from the Bible. So what is that doing? That is inspiring us to want to share that truth with others, because everyone that we know, we want them to be forgiven. We want them to have peace with God. We want them to have guidance. We want them to have encouragement. So that is what God moves us in to do by the Holy Spirit. Let me conclude in this way today. So a truth today is that believers have the Spirit. I think back about 30-some years ago, I memorized 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, and it says, "Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" It was such an unusual experience when I memorized it, because in order for me to memorize, I have to say the verse about 50 times, honestly. But see, that verse, though, is in the form of a question. So every time I said it, I'm asking myself the question, do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And probably after about 25 times, I'm like, okay, God, I get it now, that the Holy Spirit is dwelling within me. And then what's relevant for today? Well, for believers, we are blessed by the Holy Spirit that we understand, we live, and we share the Bible. So even think about the disciples. Prior to the Holy Spirit, what were they doing? They were locked behind closed doors in fear. After the day of Pentecost, what are they doing? Now they're out and living and sharing the truth. God wants us to know that we are plugged in. We have that power. We can do that too. And then finally, let's take some of the pressure off, a little bit of inspiration from what I've already said. But as believers, all we can do is share the truth. Well, we could do one more thing. We could pray. So we should pray first, share the truth, and then pray some more. But that's all we can do. But it's a work of the Holy Spirit, though, to do the five parts of repentance. So we don't have the pressure on us that we have to convert someone. We simply, gladly, lovingly, kindly share the truth. And then it's up to the Holy Spirit to do his amazing, powerful work. Let us pray. Dear Holy Spirit, we thank you for showering us with so many blessings. We pray that you would continue to work within us to grow our understanding, grow us in living more for our Lord Jesus Christ, grant us a greater desire to share the Bible with others, and then show us each opportunity, give us courage, move us to action so that you are working then through that truth. God the Father is glorified, and we are filled with joy, and we are growing up in our faith in Jesus. In his holy name we pray. Amen.